We're hearing all these testimonies of being thankful, and one of the things that we can be thankful for is that God is a personal God, and that He's willing to communicate with us and talk to us, and that's what tonight's chalk drawing is about. It's called Touching Heaven for Someone Else. Touching Heaven for Someone Else. Let's open with prayer. Father in Heaven, I thank You for this evening. I thank You for bringing us all here this evening. Lord, I just ask that You would bless this message. I pray that You would anoint me as I give Your message, Lord, and anoint Dad as he draws. Lord, in all, may this drawing bring glory and honor to Your name. And may the things that we learn from Your word be applied to each and every heart here this evening. I pray this in Your name. Amen. A young woman left her home in the country to live in a large city. Her widowed mother was unwilling to part with her because she couldn't bear the thought of her daughter separated from her, living among strangers and countless temptations. But at last she gave her consent and her daughter Mary left home. Over the course of time, sad news reached the mother, news that nearly broke her mother's heart. Her daughter had forgotten her loving words of warning and her words of counsel. She'd forsaken God and was instead living a life of sin and shame. Upon hearing this news, the mother decided to search for her prodigal and bring her back home. After days of fruitless search, she thought about going home and giving up the search entirely. But she didn't. Instead, she had a thought. She went to a photographer and had her picture taken. And the mother had a bunch of posters made up with her picture on them. And she went around town hanging these posters up all over. Sometime later, her daughter, who was traveling with an immoral companion at the time, noticed the poster. Her attention was attracted to the likeness. She said to her companion, "That looks like my mother." So she went closer and examined it more closely. "It is my mother," she exclaimed in amazement. One night during the Civil War, an officer complained to General Stonewall Jackson that some of the soldiers were making a noise in their tent. "What are they doing?" asked General Jackson. "They are praying now, but they have been singing," was the reply. "Is that a crime?" asked the general. "The Articles of War orders punishment for an unusual noise," was the reply. "God forbid that praying should be an unusual noise in the camp," replied General Jackson. "I thank God for the privilege of prayer. To be able to go into God's presence and to seek His face and help for the needs of life is a blessing beyond value. To have that open door unto His throne of grace, to be invited to enter there, to call upon Him, and to have His promise that He will hear us and He will answer us when we call upon Him. Well, that's a wonderful promise. That's a wonderful blessing. God forbid that praying should ever be an unusual noise in our homes. God forbid that praying should ever be an unusual sound in our lives. But how much greater is the blessing to be able to enter God's presence on behalf of other people and pray for them? Oh, the privilege of being able to intercede for others before the presence of the Lord. It's an honor to be able to go to God and to lift up the needs and the burdens and the souls of other people. God forbid that praying for others should ever be an unusual sound and an unusual noise in our lives. There is a great need this evening to touch heaven for other people. I know that I'm here tonight because people have been praying for me, and that there's been people who've touched heaven for my life. The fact that you're here tonight and saved and on your way to heaven is a testimony to the fact that other people have been praying for you and touching heaven for you. I want to take the Bible here tonight and show you four different places where people reached up by faith and they touched heaven for someone else. They touched heaven for others. There are many more places that you can find in Scripture, examples of someone touching heaven for someone else, but these four will serve to illustrate the truth that there is a need to touch heaven and there is a power in touching heaven for others. The first example that we find is Moses touched heaven for the saints in Israel. Moses touched heaven for the saints in Israel. You can find that in Exodus 17, verses 8 through 13. Israel was under attack, and they needed someone to stand in the gap for them. Moses answered the challenge, and he touched heaven for Israel that day. Because he did, victory was the result. God's people need someone who will touch heaven for them in these days. Both the soldiers who are on the front lines and the soldiers who are in the camps need someone who will reach up by faith and ring the prayer bells of glory so that God's people might have the victory. And what a comfort it is to know that people are praying for you every single day. Whenever you go about your everyday activities, it gives you so much peace and comfort knowing that there's other people out there who are lifting you up in prayer. I read in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul was constantly asking for the prayer of others. You know, if the Apostle Paul, a great missionary, traveling evangelist of a man, if he needed the prayer of other people so desperately, how much more do we need the prayers of other people? I can also read where the saints are commanded to pray for one another. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And 1 Timothy 2, 1-8 says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for the leaders of our church. We need to be praying daily for our pastor and for the deacons who serve on our board. We need to pray for our Sunday school teachers. We need to pray for all of those who serve in any capacity at our church. We need to pray for the families that are visiting here. We need to pray for the children who go off to school. We need to pray for every member of our congregation. We need to pray for the saints of God. May the Lord help us to see the need to pray for one another. May He help us to learn to pray hell off of our brothers and sisters day by day. You know, there is nothing in this world like knowing that God's people are praying for you. There's no greater comfort than to knowing that other people are touching heaven for you. Having the prayers of God's people gives a great confidence as you live your life for the Lord. During World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific. His platoon was under fire, and they were trying to signal their comrades that they had taken a certain hill. Their sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and to raise it up on a pole so that the other units would know that they had taken this hill. As he grabbed the flag and he ran off to raise it up, he was shot down by a sniper. Another man was sent to retrieve the flag and raise it up. He too was shot. Finally, a young private spoke up and he said, "Sergeant, in just a few minutes it will be 4 o'clock. If you'll let me wait until then, I will take that flag and I will raise it up on that pole." The sergeant thought for a moment and he said, "All right, son, whatever, if you say so." At 4 o'clock, that private jumped out of his foxhole, he ran over and picked up the flag, and then he ran over to the pole and he raised it up real quick. He then turned and ran back to his foxhole and he jumped in without getting so much as a scratch. The men all cheered, and the sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait until 4 o'clock to do what he did. The private replied, "Well, sir, it's 4 o'clock here, but back home in Kansas, it's 6 a.m. You see, my mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every morning at 6 a.m. she would be on her knees praying for my safety. I knew that I would be safe while Mama touched heaven for me." Are you touching heaven for the saints of God? Second of all, Abraham touched heaven for the sinners who were in Sodom. You can find that story in Genesis 18:20 through 33. Abraham prayed for the sinners who were in Sodom. He touched heaven on their behalf. He only needed 10 souls, and Sodom would have been spared. Abraham was able to talk God down, and if there are 10 righteous people, will you save the city for 10 righteous? And God said, "Yes, I'll save the city for 10 righteous." You know, think of it. All he needed was 10. Already there was Lot, Mrs. Lot, their two unmarried daughters at home, at least two other daughters who were married. That's 8. All Lot had to do was win 2 more in Sodom, and the city could have been spared. But what a tragedy it is that his witness was so poor, he couldn't even win 2 people to the Lord. In fact, all but three perished. Lost people need someone who knows that the Lord, lost people need someone who knows the Lord is praying for them. You may wonder if your prayer matters when it comes to the matter of someone else's salvation. I may encourage you, they do. Your prayer does matter for other people's salvation. You see, your prayers touch the heart of God, and He in turn touches the heart of men. A quote by J. Oswald Sanders says, "It is possible to move men through God by prayer alone." J. Sybil Baxter once said, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they are helpless against our prayers." How true that is. People may curse you, slam their doors in your face, turn a deaf ear to your witness, but they cannot oppose your prayers as they ascend to the Father's throne. God help us to carry a great burden for those who are lost in sin. Lost people can't pray for themselves. They probably don't know how. And they desperately need someone who will stand between them and hell and say, "As long as I live and as long as I have breath in my lungs, you will not pass this way." I wonder tonight, who are those lost ones that you carry in your heart tonight? Don't ever give up on them. Keep praying. It may take a while, but the Bible promises that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. It may take a while, but God will always honor the prayer of His saints. A certain Scottish man who had lived a very worldly life was going over the records left by his father, a very wealthy man who had just passed away. He noticed that his father had given large sums of money to an orphanage operated by none other than George Mueller. He decided that his father might want him to continue to give to that work, so he decided to pay them a visit one day. It just so happened that when he got there, there was a great revival meeting going on for the boys and the girls in the orphanage home. So he sat there and he listened to the sermon, and this man became convicted of his sins. That day he came to Jesus, and he gave his life to the Lord, and he was saved. When he stood up to give his testimony of his conversion, the workers in that home were not surprised at all. They said to him, "For 38 years, George Mueller did not cease to pray for you every single day." Don't give up. Mays Jackson told of preaching in a certain meeting and of using Matthew 18:19 as his text. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Mr. Jackson said that after the service, a little boy met him at the door, and he asked him, "Preacher, do you really believe that that verse is true? Do you really believe in that verse?" Brother Mays said, "Oh, I sure do." Well, that little boy proceeded to tell him that his dad had abandoned him and his mother for a life of drink and women. He said that he had not seen or heard from his daddy since he had left home. He told the preacher that he wanted to see his daddy saved more than anything else in the world. He asked Brother Mays to make a covenant with him and to claim that verse to see his daddy get saved. But he wanted to claim that verse and believe that God would save his daddy before the meeting ended on Friday night. Brother Mays said that he was ashamed to admit to the little boy that he had his doubts, but he decided to agree with the little boy that his daddy would come to Jesus. Well, Brother Mays said that every night while he preached, that little boy sat in the front row and he'd say, Matthew 18:19. He'd come by at the back door and he'd say, Matthew 18:19, preacher, my daddy's going to get saved." Brother Mays said the whole thing made him a little nervous and he was afraid that the little boy was going to be very disappointed. Well, Friday evening came and there had been no sign of the boy's daddy. As Brother Mays preached that night, the little boy waved his Bible in the air and he'd say, Matthew 18:19, preacher, over and over. Then as the service was ending and they were about to be dismissed, a man entered the door at the back of the church. That little boy looked around and he said, "That's my daddy." That man came down the aisle, took his estranged wife by the hand. He came and grabbed his son, went down to the altar, and he gave his heart to the Lord. You know, it sounds an awful lot like how my great-grandfather was saved. You've probably heard my dad tell the story before, but the church that my great-grandma was attending was having a series of revival services. And the whole church had been in prayer for my great-grandfather, praying for him to give his heart to the Lord, and they were praying for his salvation. Well, it came down to the last night of the revival services, and so far my great-grandfather hadn't gone forward to accept Christ. But this night, the last night of the meetings, a drunk showed up, and he came in through the back door. Well, the pastor's wife was greeting people at the door, and when she saw the drunk, she wasn't about to let him in. But then the Lord seemed to speak to her heart, and the Lord seemed to say, "Let him in. He's needed here tonight." She wondered, how could a drunk be needed at a revival service? But she let him in anyways. Well, this drunk came in, and he sat down right behind my great-grandparents. When the altar call was given, he tapped my great-grandfather on the shoulder, and he said, "Sir, is that for everyone?" And he said, "Well, yes, it is." So then he asked my grandfather, "Will you go with me down to the altar?" So my great-grandfather took that old drunk up to the altar, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and he was gloriously saved that evening. That old drunk got up after praying for a little while and went off, and nobody ever saw him ever again. Surely God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Don't ever give up praying for others. Are you touching heaven for lost sinners tonight? If so, don't ever give up praying for them. God is listening, and in his time, they will come. I just believe that your burden is an extension of God's plan to save their soul. The third instance in the Bible is Hezekiah touched heaven for the sufferers in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was being threatened by King Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. If the Assyrians are allowed to attack them, the people of Jerusalem will suffer untold trials and brutality. However, King Hezekiah goes to the temple of the Lord and he prays for God to deliver them. And the Lord hears him and he answers him. That night, the angel of the Lord slays 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and King Sennacherib is killed by one of his own sons. God spared the people of Jerusalem because one man touched heaven for them. I just want to remind you tonight that there are people who are walking through some deep valleys. There are people who have great struggles. Some of them have been carrying burdens that we can't even begin to imagine. They need someone who will stand up for them on their behalf and who will touch heaven for their lives. They need someone who will spend time in prayer for them. We need to be in the business of touching heaven for our brothers and sisters who are fighting the battles of life. It's actually a commandment in the Bible. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, never are we more like Jesus than when we are loving others and standing in the gap for them. I'm sure that we all know someone who is struggling, who's going through some hardships and trials. We need to be in prayer for them. I praise the Lord for every time someone touched heaven for me. Are you touching heaven for the suffering saints this evening? I pray that you are. The fourth point is Jesus touched heaven for the souls in sin. Jesus had been brought to Calvary. He's been nailed to the cross to atone for the sins of humanity. He has submitted to the cruel torture of his tormentors without opening his mouth in protest. When he does speak, it's not to condemn people, but instead he touches heaven in praying God to forgive the sinners. You know, that's perhaps the greatest prayer that was ever prayed. Imagine for a moment what's going on in heaven. Imagine a father watching his son die for lost sinners. Imagine the holy angels standing around just waiting for the word to go and rescue their Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 26:53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Instead, we have the blessed Lamb of God who is giving his life for the lost, lifting his voice to pray for the forgiveness of his tormentors. What grace and what love. That Jesus would touch heaven for those who hated him, reviled him, and crucified him is glorious beyond the ability of human vocabulary to describe. I thank God for sending his Son, Jesus Christ, who really touched heaven for my life. He finished the task that his Father had sent him to accomplish. He reached up to heaven to satisfy the just demands of God for sin. He then reached down in love to a lost and dying world to offer salvation full and free to all those who would come to him by faith. And then after he died, he was buried, and 3 days later, he arose victorious over the grave. He then ascended back to heaven to touch heaven for us once for all. I'm grateful for that day when the Holy Spirit made it clear to my life, to my soul, that Jesus had touched heaven for me. Because he did what he did, the way was open for me when I came to him for salvation. Because Jesus had touched heaven for me, I could come to God and be saved through grace by faith. Thank God Jesus touched heaven for me. Once Sir Walter Raleigh made a request of the Queen of England, and she answered with irritation, "Raleigh, when will you ever leave off begging?" Sir Walter replied, "When your Majesty leaves off giving," and his request was granted. My brothers and sisters, the God of all grace never tires of our asking, and he never grows weary in his giving. So don't stop seeking his face for yourself and for the needs of others. Mary saw that poster, the picture of her mother. She looked at it and she thought, "Boy, that looks an awful lot like my mother." And she went over to get a closer look. And she said, "It is my mother." But she wasn't prepared for the thought that was expressed in the words that the mother had written on the page. "Mary, I love you still." Mary couldn't stand this. She was expecting reproach and condemnation. To think that her mother had actually been searching for her in all her worldly places and was willing to bring her back home to the home of her childhood just as she was. She could not understand it as she thought over those words, "Mary, I love you still." The days of her childhood and innocence came up before her and her godly home associations, her mother's prayers, her tears, and her loving counsels. As Mary reflected on the difference between what she was then and what she had been before, she completely broke down. The awful sin and folly of her evil ways was brought before her, and she at once determined to leave her companions who were in sin and to go back with her mother. When Mary reached home, there was a great joy at the unexpected arrival of the long-lost daughter, and greater joy yet was the joy in the presence of the angels of God, for she once again became a humble follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there some people who need you to touch heaven for them this evening? Someone that you know that's lost? Maybe they're saints, but they're struggling? I'm sure that we can all think of people that we know that so desperately need our prayers, and they need us to touch heaven for them. I know that there's needs this evening. Let's get before the Lord and touch heaven for the glory of God. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Prayer is definitely powerful. Prayer moves the hand of God. And I know that I'm here tonight because of prayers of others. I'm sure that you're all here tonight also because of the prayers of others. Tonight is more of a message of encouraging you to be in prayer for someone, whether it be saints, your leaders, the people of the church, unsaved friends. We all know of people who have needs, and they need you to be praying for them. So I'd like to do tonight, actually, I'd like to open up the altars and have you come down and pray for anyone that the Lord may lay on your hearts. If you would, just spend a few minutes in prayer for someone else. And just reach up to heaven and touch heaven for others, if you would.